Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we have a book club review. We're going to be reviewing Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros.
I would like to point out that we originally recorded this closer to when Iron Flame came out, and there were technical difficulties, so we lost like half the track, but we have the other half, and we thought it would be kind of weird to just end mid-conversation, so we are re-recording this now.
Should we start with overall impressions? Do you want to start with an author overview? How would you like to kick us off?
Some of this may be repetitive from our fourth wing episode, but for anybody who doesn't know who Rebecca Yarros is at this point, she's an author from Colorado. She is from a military family. I think her parents were in the military, and then her husband was. I remember talking about this at one point. I don't know if it was the prior Iron Flame recording or the fourth wing recording. I feel like this woman has a lot on her plate because she has 6 children, English bulldogs, do not know how many, but there was plural dogs. So I would say at least 2, and then 2 chinchillas and a cat. Like, I have Ella, and I'm like, girl, you a lot of work.
Yeah, I have Mo, and Mo is enough for me. Mo is sufficient.
Mo is great.
Mo is. I love Mo.
I do need a new picture, though, because you said he got bigger.
He did get bigger. And the other day, we got him a little scrub brush because he keeps shedding. He sheds, like, these little pieces of his shell as he grows. They're called scutes.
That's kind of adorable. I didn't know turtles shed.
So he's, like, always trying to, like, scratch himself on, like, his heater or his basking area. And so I was like, oh, we should get you a little brush. So we got him a little brush, and we'll see how he likes it.
Have you tried it yet?
No, I haven't put it in the tank yet because I need to wash it and then set it in. And I'm like, I don't know where I want to put it, but I need to set it in this tank so he can test it out. I hope he's not scared of it and I hope he likes it.
I want updates.
I'll let you know. You might see a video of him scratching his butt using this, so just prepare yourself.
I love it. So Rebecca Yarros, from her website, she was saying that she read a lot when her husband was deployed. And so she decided to write her own book. She was originally writing romance, and then, what, like a year and a little bit? Was it even a full year ago? I don't think so. But Fourth Wing came out. And then it was super buzzy, I remember. And I did the thing that I usually do where I kind of like, I don't want to read it because it's so buzzy at first. And then I was like, you know what? Let's try it. I loved it. And so then Kaylee read it as well. And we just jumped on the Fourth Wing train. And here we are. And that's obviously why we picked the book, too.
Yes, it was a book that we picked just because we wanted to read it. So a little bit about the book. Did you want to do a summary or do we want to just launch into some of our thoughts on it? Maybe let's just launch into our thoughts on it. Are you okay with that?
Are we just going full chaos for this episode? Here's the thing is I feel like we usually do a book summary first, but also this series is like so, it's just everywhere, right? So seeing as we probably don't fully remember everything that happened, it might be better to talk about just things we want to talk about.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I feel like it might be better just to talk about the things that we want to talk about rather than doing like a book summary on this one, because I think that one, the people who are here, if you get it, you get it. You're already here. And then two, I think also if we did a summary, I don't know that we would do the summary justice. So maybe we just launch directly into the things we want to chat about. All right, so let's get right into it. Starting off strong, what do you think Violet's second signet is? Do you have any ideas?
What I do know from what I read, I think it's from an interview from Rebecca Yarros, but just Google this because I don't have an actual source for that, is that Violet's second signet does appear in Iron Flame, so it's not going to be something completely random that we haven't seen. I know that there's a few theories that have been thrown around. I know you listened to the episode, the Fantasy Fangirls podcast have great deep dives into the series. And at the end of this book, they did a whole episode on the possibilities of the signets. So why don't you just name a few of them and then maybe we can dig into each one?
I'm so excited for this. I don't think you even understand. Because when I was listening to theirs, like, there were definitely ones that I thought of. Like, they had mentioned, like, maybe it's time travel because she sees Liam. But, like, then they also brought up this great point about how, like, her connection to her dragon is supposed to be blocked. But my opinion on this is where I think there's going to be a loophole, is even though she saw Liam when, like, she had taken, you know, that potion or serum, I don't know, that was supposed to block her connection to her dragon. The way that I see it is, I have a feeling that this wouldn't work because Andarna's type of dragon has not been around for the last, like, I don't know, 600 years. So I figure this serum was probably developed after that and just does not impact Andarna.
Right, because they were talking about how they were working on the serum, right? So I feel like when you're developing something, now mind you, I am nowhere in pharmaceutical development, any sort of like chemical medicine type thing. I mean, this is essentially kind of like a drug, right? So when you make a drug, they're targeting a certain thing. So like you said, they are only, what, 6 known types of dragons? So they're probably testing against those types of dragons. So to your point, if Andarna's different, maybe there was something they would have had to add that they didn't because they didn't know. You don't know what you don't know or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that this time travel theory could definitely be a possibility. I think I brought it up when we had our original conversation with Ruhika. But I think that that could be a real thing where she's able to time travel in some capacity. And I almost wonder, like, what the implications of that would be. Like, for example, if she is able to full-on time travel rather than just slow down time, I do wonder if, for example, could she bring past Zayden to talk to current Zayden? Or what would happen if she did that? Is that not possible?
I have a question about the Liam thing. Now, I don't know if they talk about it in their specific episode on Second Cygnus, but I remember when they were doing their deep dive of Iron Flame, they were kind of debating between, like, is Liam part of the Cygnet? I think they were debating this. Or is it just, like, she was just so delusional she was tripping, and, like, this was, like, a psychological protection mechanism to, like, keep her somewhat sane? Are you leaning more like this is like your mind doing things so that you don't completely lose it? Or do you think it is the Cygnet?
So for the sake of the plot, I would like to say it's the Cygnet, but I think it could definitely be the other one as well. I don't have strong feelings on it being one or the other for sure. I just think for the sake of the plot, if her second Cygnet was time travel, I think that that would be amazing. Because could you imagine she could go back and talk to the people who like created the wards?
Also, we know she came from the Scribe Quandret. She didn't come from the Scribe Quandret, but she was initially supposed to go there. So I feel like the nerd in her would love that from a historical perspective.
I know. I'm like, I feel like she would just love that. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. But that was one of the ones that they came up with that I think I'd mentioned it initially before I even listened to the episode with you and Ruhika. Another one that they mentioned was an amplifier one. And I was like, I really hope she's not an amplifier. I'm sorry. In my opinion, that would be boring. And they had mentioned that it might be because there are several instances throughout the books in which people are able to do things that they were not previously able to do. For example, like Mira and the wards being able to extend them so far, or Rhiannon and the dagger being able to pull it through. I think it was the dagger.
Mm-hmm. Through the wall.
Through the wall. And so I think that while that's an interesting one, I actually kind of hate that one. I think it's too commonplace for it to be her second Cygnet. What do you think?
That's actually the one Cygnet that I remembered when we started this conversation after we started talking about the time travel one. I was like, oh yeah, this one exists. I think while it's not as exciting as time travel, I also feel like it could be her second Cygnet. Well, here's the thing too, is you weren't really thrilled with her first Cygnet either. So maybe her second Cygnet lets you down too? Or, I don't know, you can tell me if I'm wrong, or maybe you're hoping that her second Cygnet makes up for the fact that you think her first one's kind of lame.
See, I feel like it's got to be the second Cygnet makes up for it. If not, I'm about to throw metaphorical hands. So I don't know. I'm just saying, I feel like the second Cygnet had better be good because you look at like Zayden's, and Zayden's first Cygnet is like Shadows, which is already pretty amazing. And then his second Cygnet is an Intrinsic, which he's not like, Intrinsics are not supposed to be around. They're supposed to be dead. So I look at that and I'm like, she did not disappoint with Zayden's second Cygnet. So why would she disappoint with Violet's? If she does with Violet's, I'm going to be very upset.
I think based on the things in the book, it very well could be that she's an amplifier. I don't think that, like you said, it's as exciting, but I also don't know if I love the time travel one.
Okay, let me tell you another one that they mentioned that I hadn't thought of, but I was like, this is a very interesting proposition. Actually, there are two. I didn't listen to the whole episode. I had to stop partway through because we were about to record our episode. However, one of the ones that they mentioned was the possibility that she could have like a chameleon signet, which I was like, this is super odd, but okay, tell me more. And for a chameleon signet, they were saying like her signet could change based upon need. So kind of like the Room of Requirement in Harry Potter.
Yeah. Are there specific examples of that?
I don't think it's a one that exists. I think it was just somebody's theory because it seems like at certain times throughout the book, she gets what she needs. For example, Liam, when she needed to have a mental break. Or there was another instance they cited where it was like Zayden came to come see her, even though he was supposed to be like super far away, which they were like, it may have just have been like an overlooked thing in writing or whatnot. But I think that that would be a very interesting signet. I feel like it's not that signet. I feel like if it was, it'd kind of be a cop-out. What do you think?
I feel like that signet is kind of related to the amplifying one. Like, not in that it's the same thing, but, like, feels like those signets are cousins.
I would be much more about a chameleon signet versus an amplifier signet because, in my opinion, like, an amplifier, like, they already exist. It's nothing too special. I think that because her dragon is different, it should be something that we haven't seen yet, like, at all.
Yeah. I think the chameleon one is cooler, but I think the reason why I'm saying is, like, they seem somewhat related because neither one seems like a set thing, right? Like, for the amplifier, it's her making other people's powers better. And for the chameleon, it's not like she has one thing. It's like she can do everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or I'd also be curious to see, this isn't one that they mentioned in the episode, or at least not as far as I got, but if there was some sort of thing to do with killing Venin. I mean, I think whatever she has is probably going to be something key to kill Venin. As we talked about with Ruhika, it's been like 600 years since either the wards were made or the Venin were last here. I don't recall exactly what it was, but it's been like 600 years since this type of dragon came about, and there was some correlation with the timeline of the Venin.
It's like Andara's been chilling in her egg for like hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. So I think to your point, it really would be disappointing if it's something that we've seen. Or I guess if it's something we've seen recently, right? Like maybe there's a mention of a rider, like you said, like 600 years who could do this one thing. And then Violet's like the next one. Then I wouldn't be as upset if it's like, I don't think for me, she has to be literally the only one ever to have it. I think maybe she should be the only one alive.
Yeah, I think that's kind of my feeling as well. I'm still disappointed by her lightning wielding. I'm sorry.
But it kind of relates to the Venin, right? Like, she can strike them.
Yeah. Still not sold on it.
Because otherwise she'd have to get all up close and personal and, like, stab it.
That's true. I'm very much more about seeing lightning strikes and then the Venin dies versus, and then they were stabbed.
So if you had to pick one, are you going with the chameleon one?
No, if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with the time travel just because I think it'd be a much more interesting plot device. I also think the reason why I kind of want to lean this way is because I think somewhere she said that she regretted killing Liam off.
I think for me, while it's not the most exciting, I feel like there's the most amount of evidence for an amplifier signet. But also, I have been known to be a sucker for red herrings. And I feel like there's almost too much evidence for that signet.
Another thing that they had mentioned on the podcast that I was listening to was the potential, because you know how her signet is supposed to be like pure energy, that maybe she could channel that, not necessarily exactly as an amplifier, but that would impact the other signets around her. And I thought that was super interesting. So I would prefer that theory over, say, for example, her being an amplifier.
How is that different than amplifying?
Because then she still gets a second signet that's not amplifying.
But isn't it doing the amplifying? I don't understand the energy thing, I guess.
Because, like, they talked about in the book, when she first got her signet of lightning wielding, that it was being able to channel pure energy or pure power.
Right.
And so the idea behind it is that she would be able to use that to help other people. So therefore, that would not be her second signet. And the reason why I say that I prefer that is because then it still leaves it open for her to have a different second signet.
Oh, so what you're saying is that the quote amplifying is really just part of her lightning thing. I could see that. Yeah. Because I feel like it is kind of weird how there's all these things that people are like, oh, I just can't do this. And then they can.
Yeah. But also part of me just, I want to believe that they're just getting better throughout time. And I'm like, they're just getting a better handle on their signets. Just give them grace.
Okay. I feel like that could totally make sense, say, in Rhiannon's case, because she's like, what, in her second year?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder more about Mira, who's been through all the years, was it 3 years? And then she's been, I think she's like a captain or something. So I would like to think that Mira would have gained enough power and control over a signet to have been able to already do that. Also, you never know, because I think, isn't there some whole thing about like, sometimes you don't know what you can do until you have to do it. So Mira's thing, maybe she hasn't been in a situation where like, she really feels like, no, we need to do this. There's no other choice. Because I feel like the things that she's done it with, if it's true that it only happens when Violet's around, I feel like protecting her sister is going to be different than protecting whatever else she has to do out on patrol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
I don't know. Do you think? Well, no. I guess she did say that it was in this book. I was going to say, is it something that maybe people haven't even talked about?
I think it's very possible that it's something we haven't talked about, but I feel like people are probably wise to what she's doing and are really looking for that second signet.
I also think there's people who are way more in this world than we are, because I feel like we're like fans of the world, but there are people who are like, it reminds me of the Harry Potter days, like they're deep diving everything, like reading every sentence, trying to figure it out. I'm not that level, so I feel like I'm going to leave it up to those people to figure out the second signet for me.
Agreed. I'm happy to speculate, though. Like, I enjoy some good speculation every now and again.
If we did want to transition to Violet and Zayden's relationship, at a certain point in this book, I was kind of sick of them having the same fight over and over again, because they would have the same fight, and then one of them would have to fly off somewhere, and then when they got back together, they would have the same exact fight again.
Yeah, I feel like it was always off and on throughout the whole entire book. And it was like, maybe that's part of the reason why the book felt so long, was because they were perpetually fighting about like, can I trust you or can I not trust you?
I think the book did feel long sometimes. And when I was reading it, I was thinking, this is the same fight I read about 20 pages ago. So if it's an important issue and they can't resolve it right away, sure, have them have the same fight a few times. But I think it just happened way too many times and it probably could have been cut at a certain point.
I agree. I think that the fight was just, you know, like, I'm sorry, it was not my favorite thing. And I feel like it kind of made the book boring. I said what I said.
I think part of it, too, was, like you're saying, is what they were fighting about wasn't interesting enough to have the same fight that many times. Like, it was a lot of, oh, you don't trust me, and then Zayden's like, well, just ask the questions. And then Violet's frustration of like, well, you should just tell me, it shouldn't be a game of me trying to like correctly guess the right question.
Yeah, I'm like, I almost wonder if there's something in place that makes it so that he can't talk about it.
I mean, I guess the fact that they would kill him. I feel like for me, that'd be a pretty good incentive to not tell anyone, especially at the beginning. You don't want to tell Violet because he doesn't fully know what her deal is, right? And then in this book, in Iron Flame, you feel like, okay, so he should just tell her, right? Because they're in a relationship and all that. But then also, he knows that she's in that torture class this year. So it may not be fully a matter of like, oh, he doesn't trust her. It's like, who knows what you say when you're getting tortured, right?
That's very fair point. And I look at it too, and I also wonder if like, part of the reason why he doesn't just want to tell her everything is because if she asks the question first, he can use his powers as an intrinsic to read how she would react to either side. So then he kind of can read her intentions before she makes a move or makes a decision.
Yeah. Because you could kind of feel like, oh, like she's still going to love me. She's just asking because she wants to know. Versus if he brings it up, he's not going to get a read on it until he says it. Which I feel like Zayden, as much of a tough guy as he's portrayed, I feel like he is a little bit of a softie.
He's 100% a softie. I feel like it's also interesting because, like, with the characters here, I feel like Zayden is never falling out of love with Violet. It's always the other way around. Like, Violet is always falling out of love with him. And I feel like part of me is like, it makes it like more fun as a reader because you're like, oh, our girl Violet is flawless. But also I look at it too and I'm like, I wonder if part of that or the reason why she does that is because she worries that people would like Zayden less if he was hot and cold towards Violet.
I think people probably would like him less.
Mm-hmm. Because I feel like right now he's like this very idealistic character where it's like he's kind of perfect, quote unquote. And so I think that's maybe part of the reason why she doesn't go and like make him have the same issue of falling out of love with her, whereas like Violet is constantly sort of like calling it off.
I could see how that could definitely turn people off to Zayden. I think also, if you think about it, it's Violet who's getting her world turned upside down. Zayden has known these things for years. So we have to remember, too, how that could be affecting her. And I think a lot of this information is coming from Zayden, too. So I feel like he could just be the punching bag from it.
Yeah, that's very true.
Okay, so what do you think about these two? Are they going to be together at the end? Is one of them going to die? Are they both going to die? Like, who's dead at this?
Yeah, because, okay, there's the whole thing with when it says that Jacinia is the one who's transcribing the story.
So she's obviously alive.
Jacinia is obviously alive, of course.
Which I hope, who is it, Sawyer is too? Because they're real cute.
Yeah. Okay, so Sawyer and Jacinia are going to be alive because we need at least one couple to root for in this.
And Sawyer's just so funny.
Yeah.
Quick pivot, because I know we mentioned it in the last recording. I just love it so much. When Violet, I think, is teaching him sign language, and then he goes over to talk to Jacinia, and he comes back real fast, and I think it's Riddick makes some snarky comment about how he came back too fast, and then Violet's like, well, he knows how to say one thing.
Yeah.
So they're real cute, and I'd be so sad for Jacinia, especially because she kind of had a thing with Liam that may or may not have been going on, or, like, there's little hints of something that could happen, so, like, she can't lose Liam and then lose Sawyer, too.
Agreed. Yeah, because I feel like Violet and Liam were always in the library. And so I'm like, did you just come with Violet to the library because you were supposed to watch her? Or did you come with her because you wanted to see Jacinia?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry I sidetracked you. I just love that story.
Oh, that's okay. I forgot where I was going with this, though.
Oh, how we need one happy couple at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And so those two are alive. We've decided.
We've decided. It must happen. I'm going to say that either Violet or Zayden is going to be dead, but probably not both. And the reason why I'm going to say probably not both is because I think it would have a stronger impact on the reader to have one of them dead, but not the other.
Mm-hmm. I think if they both die, it'll just be that gut reaction of everyone's mad.
Mm-hmm.
But like, oh, it would really hurt if just one of them died.
Yeah, because then I feel like the reason why I don't foresee both of them dying is because as a writer, I feel like you'd want to make them like, you'd want to make your readers process grief through the other one's eyes.
So the question is, which one?
I don't know. Which one do you think it's going to be?
So I feel like the book's through Violet's perspective, right? So Violet stays alive. But then I also think about, you know how, at least in these two books, the last chapter has been Zayden's point of view. Think of what punch it would be if, say, like the last chapter or something was Zayden's perspective after Violet died. Like, that would hurt.
Hear me out. Zayden goes full Venom and accidentally kills or intentionally kills Violet.
That took a turn.
I don't think this will actually happen because I think that that would be way too ridiculous, but it could, I guess, in theory.
That would be wild. Side note from them, but still on the like who's alive at the end. I think Fantasy Fangirls talks a lot, and my feeling from listening to the podcast is they're thinking that Mira's going to die at some point in this series.
I wouldn't doubt it. I feel like Mira's definitely going to die, just because I feel like for the people who she's killed off, aside from Liam, it's been people who it's like we kind of know, but we only know more like surface level, and I feel like Mira we don't really know more than surface level.
But I like her better than Brennan.
For Brennan? I don't know if it was ever, like, expressly said this in the books, but I feel like the person who saved him and, like, essentially made sure he didn't die was his significant other.
Okay, the podcast talks about that.
Because I feel like he totally was.
I could see it.
Why else would you give your life for someone else like that?
Yeah. does that make me sound crappy? Because then it's like, oh, yeah. Hey, friend. Yeah, I'm not. Sorry. Bye.
See, I thought about that, but then I was just like, I'm going to say it anyways, because I think this is what everyone is thinking. Don't worry, though. If it came to it, I probably would give my life for somebody else. I don't know. Ask me in the moment.
Okay. Anybody else? Rhiannon, dead or alive?
I want to say that Rhiannon's going to live, but I think that that's selfish. I think I just really like Rhiannon, and I want her to be alive. What about you?
I think in my head I have her as alive. But I have no proof or anything in the book to point to that. It's just I think she's kind of a badass.
Agreed. I also look at it and I'm like, I like so many of the side characters in this book that I would just be so sad if they were killed off. Like, please do not kill them off.
It's kind of that whole thing where, you know how like El Casimano wrote a little novella about Vero?
Mm-hmm.
I would love little novellas about Violet's friends because they are fantastic.
I agree. So if you were to read a novella from one of Violet's friends, which one would you want to read?
I can only pick one.
Only one.
Riddick.
That's who I would pick too.
Because he's hilarious. I was like, I would love to get inside his head and like see his thought process.
I agree. I'm like, I don't know who she based Riddick off of. However, I would 100% read a book from Riddick's perspective.
I think it's a tie between Riddick and Rhiannon as who's my favorite of her friends. Because I love Rhiannon's loyalty. I love how like skilled she is. Like she can take care of herself. But kind of what you were saying when we were talking about a different fantasy book, like you don't necessarily want it to be all dark and all war. And I feel like that's what Riddick provides for this book.
Agreed. And I feel like that's part of the reason why we would enjoy a book from Riddick's perspective.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if she ever has some free time, I know she has like 3 more books to write, but if she's ever feeling bored, Riddick's side story is what we all need.
Agreed. And I feel like for if she ever did a Riddick side story, I feel like it'd be a lot more world exploring.
Also, I think we might have talked about this before, is love a spinoff from the dragon's point of view. I'd read a book from Chan's head.
Yeah, I think I saw in an interview somewhere, she said it was based off of, like, her cat or, like, one of her pets.
I love that. Because we talked about this in one of the recordings, about just how sassy Taren is. I mean, Ardarna's sassy. But, like, Taren is just, like, he just says what he says, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love Ardarna, too. I think it was when we did our original Iron Flame recording, how we're just all fangirling over Ardarna and how she's like the best thing. Because I think one of the best parts of this book, because I know there's some criticisms of it and how it like felt rushed, the plot was a little sloppy. But my favorite part of this book, I feel like it's the Taren and Ardarna. Like Taren trying to deal with a teenager is the funniest thing ever.
Oh my gosh, agreed. It provides some much needed comic relief throughout this book. And I thoroughly enjoy that.
For example, when the griffins join the riders. And this happened at least twice where Ardarna was kind of like, ooh, tasty. And then Taren has to keep telling her that they don't eat their friends.
Yes, exactly. I just think that the Taren and Ardarna situation, I'm very much looking forward to. Also, this brings up a whole nother question that I have. And that is, if one of her dragons dies, does Violet die? Or would both have to die for Violet to die?
That's so interesting because it really is. Your dragon dies, you die. But if you have 2 dragons, or if you have 2 dragons, if one of them dies, do you all die?
Exactly. Because like that's what I would wonder because I'm like, is the bond all connected? Because I feel like if you were both bonded to the same person, I feel like the bond would be like a straight line through all of you. So I feel like you'd all just die.
Yeah. But then we do know that dragons can live without their riders. But we also know that when Taren's previous rider died, he almost died. Or like he was really depressed or something. Like he almost didn't make it through that death. And that's why he hadn't bonded again for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Ardarna dies, Violet dies because of that. Could Taren take losing another rider?
I don't think so.
And then what happens with Sigale if Taren dies? This whole chain reaction.
So maybe if one of them dies, they all die? I mean, Zayden did say, he was like, if you die, I die, so therefore.
Again, referencing back to the Fantasy Fangirls podcast, it's just, there's too many references to the whole, like, if you die, I die. And then they also talk a lot about how Violet talks about Zayden's the center of her gravity and stuff like that. As much as I hate it, in my head, I'm like, no, they're both going to live. It's going to be fine. They'll ride off into the sunset of a happy little world of flyers and riders living in peace. I feel like the realistic look is what you were saying, is at least one of them is probably going to die by the end of the series.
Maybe that's why she started introducing Zayden's perspective. Maybe it's going to be Violet and she's trying to do something like how they did in Divergent.
Ooh, maybe. Okay, I know we're getting a little on, but there is at least one or two things I want to talk about. One is Eric. He basically is the king's, I think, third son. And he sneaks off to join War College. He told his dad he was, like, traveling the world for his birthday. And that's because his dad lost one of the brothers at threshing, which we learn is that it's the brother's fault and Zayden killed him because the brother was, like, attacking Bodhi or Garrick. I'm sorry to Bodhi and Garrick. I feel like in my head, I don't know which one's which, but I do know that they're different people. And one of them is Zayden's cousin and one of them isn't. But maybe one day I'll sort that out. So he, Eric, is a prince and his older brother is going to inherit the throne or whatever because he's first in line. But Eric, who sneaks off to join Bazgaeth, I'm sorry, I don't know the correct Gaelic.
Oh, wait, no, because she was mispronouncing it, right?
Or as a most of the way through the podcast disclaimer, if we mispronounce things, I think it is partly because we have listened to the audiobook, so we're not intentionally mispronouncing, and I know I probably should have looked up how you're supposed to say it, and I'm sorry that I didn't. But Eric ran off to join the War College, and when they were trying to, remember when they were going to bring him in? Because they have to get this book, and it's in the king's special archive, and only a blood relative can touch it. And so they were bringing the son in, and they were like, how do we trust him and all that? And it's like, he knew about the Venon.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that, like, his dad and, like, the leadership are promoting this totally different narrative. So my question with him is, again, probably from the podcast, which I will link to at this point because we've referenced it so much. And a lot of my theory ideas, I think, probably originate from them. And they do a pretty good job at citing where they get stuff from. But is Eric going to be king? Is the king going to die? Is he going to overthrow his brother? Is he going to overthrow his dad and brother? Because I don't know. I feel like it does seem like I'm intrigued by that idea, right? Like I would get behind it if it happened.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like I could see that happening just because if there's going to be any sort of peace in the future, I think you need somebody who's on the same page with that. And it sounds like his dad is not. And I'm assuming that his brother is also not, because he doesn't seem too fond of his family.
There was a line about that. I think when they were trying to get him to join to get the book, something about like, oh, good thing we have like a, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember, but basically a royal family member that hates their family.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I would not be shocked. I also kind of like the idea of Eric getting on the throne because I think with a lot of fantasy books that I see, it always seems like whoever is the lead person in the battle, etc., ends up on the throne in some way, shape, or form. And so I think it'd be more interesting to have somebody who's not Zayden and who's not Violet on the throne.
Yeah. I mean, I love Violet, right? But I don't think she needs to be queen of anything. I guess Zayden could, and it makes more sense, but I feel like he would, if he's going to be a king of anything, it should be Aerysia, right? Not Navarre.
Yeah. Tirindor.
Yeah, that. I was like, I know the city's in Aerysia, the throne. Isn't it something like, there's that whole throne scene anyway. Did you and Long listen to the, oh no, he didn't get past
nope,
the first book.
We did not. Nope. But yeah, anything else that you wanted to chat about?
I guess, what do you think of Kat? Is she going to be in it more? She kind of annoyed me for like 80% of the book.
I feel like Kat's character arc has taken a similar one to Dane's, where it's like, hated her, now she's okay.
Oh yeah, because I can't believe we didn't talk about this, but I think before we leave this episode, we have to talk about your feelings of Dane. Because when we talked Fourth Wing, you were kind of upset because Dane was just pure bad and you like a morally gray villain. Whereas I was just all like, I don't care. I'll hate Dane. That's cool. So do you think Dane has fully redeemed himself? Are you on the Dane train? Do you think like he will never fully recover from what he did.
I think that Dane has redeemed himself. I think that he's truly sorry, because I look at it and I'm like, he's got that background where Violet was his friend for such a long time. And I think he maybe didn't fully understand what was going on or didn't know all of the pieces. And so I don't think that he meant to cause as much harm as he did. Even if he meant to like cause some harm because he was being jealous, I don't think he ever meant to cause quite as much harm as he did.
I think the thing to remember too is who his father was. And based on what Colonel Eidos has said and done in this series, is Dane was getting fed a party line, right? And for most of it, he was a child. So I feel like that is his truth. That is his reality, right? I think they're around 20 when they go into the war college. And so I think it's easy to see, like, oh, since they're over 18, they're adults. Like, he should know the difference. But it's like, if he was being fed this one line his entire life, I think it would take something kind of, like, earth-shattering for Dane to realize that what he's been told is not the truth.
Agreed. Agreed. I'm interested to see how his character continues to develop. I do not think that he will come back into play as a love interest, because I just think that there's been too much bad blood between him and Violet for that to ever happen.
Apparently, who knows, because I feel like authors could change their mind and do things that they didn't originally plan on doing, but I think Rebecca Yarros has referenced that she doesn't like love triangles. At least that's what the Fantasy Fangirls podcast has said. So I think you're right that has closed its door.
Yeah, which I'm okay with that.
Oh, so they're like, I don't know if it's a joke. I don't know, it might be something that started as a joke and now they like are actually behind it. They're so funny. They're like, yeah, Dane and Kat should get together because they deserve each other. So what do you think?
I would actually be very much about that. If Dane and Kat got together, And I think also that would be some like poetic justice, because Dane was so like anti-Griffin writers and all that stuff, that I think it would be interesting to see. Well, thank you so much for joining us for Iron Flame. We'll see you on our next book club, which is On Earth We Were Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong, and that will be dropping on May 6th.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on Iron Flame, any theories, any comments on our discussion. You can send those over to our email, zillennialspodcast@gmail.com, or DM us on Instagram @zillennialspodcast, and don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you're listening.